European Parliament is directly elected by EU citizens. But how does it work? Welcome to a new episode from the series Bending Bananas & Co. from my podcast. German Vote – Consumer Issues Across the EU. Every now and then I like to explain EU institutions and processes in my podcast. This is part of my segment called Bending Bananas & Co. The title might sound a bit cynical, but that's not my intention. Honestly, I find it frustrating how uninformed the discussions around these topics often are. For instance, debates about the curvature of cucumbers are a recurring and endless criticism of the EU. So, this segment is a little bit a glossary, though not entirely neutral, because critical voices will also be heard here. In German media spreads much misinformation, especially about the European Parliament. Part of the reason is that the EU Parliament is explained through a German lens. Still, it's also due to a general lack of knowledge. I won't claim to be an expert myself, but having studied social sciences and political systems in depth, I've developed a strong interest in understanding the differences between them. Members of the Bundestag, including those not part of the government, can propose legislation. It happens regularly, but rarely succeeds because governing fractions usually don't support opposition bills. Yet, it's a fundamental part of parliamentary duty. The real issue is that members of the EU Parliament don't have the formal right to initiate legislation. MEPs respond to an agenda set mainly by the EU Commission, and laws are discussed and passed jointly with the EU Council. Of course, informal initiatives and influences do happen. Marion Walzmann, member of the European Parliament for the European People's Party, EPP.
Is that possible if you have no power of initiative? Yes, it works. As a member of parliament, I would also like to have the right of initiative for the parliamentary group. But it also works like this. And you already have creative design options. After all, parliament can reject a dossier outright, it can change it completely, it can also simply accept it because it is good. But there are so many variations possible in this whole range, and that is incredibly exciting. Some dossiers are adopted with over 1,000 amendments that have to be discussed and voted on. There is an incredible amount of work involved, and every member of parliament can table amendments, not only via their committee, but also personally. You are not bound by the opinion of the parliamentary group. You are responsible for yourself.
There are more similarities and differences. Like the German Bundestag, the European Parliament is not a debate parliament, like the British one. Most decisions are made in committees, with the complete parliament is voting afterward. This results in marathon voting sessions where MEPs often vote according to lists without knowing the details of every proposal. When Martin Sonneborn, MEP from Die Partei, plays voting bingo, it might seem amusing. But it is not a constructive approach to this form of parliamentary democracy. He also changed the voting behavior after criticism. The European Parliament and the German Bundestag too are working parliaments, a form of a representative democracy. Breaking away from that model is tough within the EU's framework, but possible. Switzerland shows how direct democracy can dominate a system, with the government serving as a people's will manager. That system has pros and cons too. There is no perfect solution. The European Parliament is elected exclusively by proportional representation. This means the percentage of votes a party receives determines how many seats it gets. In contrast, the German Bundestag uses a mixed proportional, the first vote, and majority voting system, the second vote. The proportionality is adjusted through a complex mechanism afterward. Other countries differ. France's National Assembly is elected by majority vote. The UK is also a good example of this, but of course no longer a member of the EU. One unique feature of the EU Parliament is that large countries give up seats in favor of smaller ones to ensure regional balance. This means proportional representation is limited. You can criticize this, of course. The argument for it is that smaller countries should have a say, while the counter-argument is that it distorts the voters' will. Other country-specific features include compulsory voting in some places and blocking clauses in many EU nations. Germany is expected to introduce such a blocking clause for the 2029 elections. There is also a corresponding reform proposal that provides for the mandatory introduction of blocking clauses for large EU countries. There is also a big difference regarding political groups in the EU Parliament. At least 23 MEPs from 7 member states are needed to form a political group. The 2024 election showed that this can certainly be a challenge. Unlike the more stable party structures of the Bundestag, it's also common for MEPs to leave their groups or be excluded. MEPs without a group face several disadvantages regarding office space, staff, funding, and committee assignments. After the 2024 election, 10 German MEPs are currently without a group. Some by choice, like Martin Sonneborn and his colleague Sibylle Berg from Die Partei, others due to exclusion, like Maximilian Krah of the AfD, or because no suitable group was found, as with MEPs from Sarah Wagenknecht's alliance BWS. One significant difference from the Bundestag is the issue of party discipline. In theory, party discipline doesn't exist in the Bundestag either, as the members are only accountable to their conscience. In practice, though, party discipline is firm. This is less so in the EU Parliament, where members of the same group often vote differently, especially if they believe their country is disadvantaged by a proposed law. Press spokesman Thilo Kunzemann describes it like this.
Our experience is that in the European Parliament, and this is also the feedback from many MEPs who have worked in the national parliament or in state or regional parliaments, there is much more cooperation across party lines, across party boundaries. So the fact that there are teams of MPs here is unimaginable in the nation states. That wouldn't work. But it works here because people know that they also have to find common positions here in parliament for what concerns them if they want to survive in the subsequent negotiations with the council.
A big difference to Germany, which actually creates a certain dynamic. This was clearly evident in the re-election of Ursula von der Leyen as EU Commission President. It was not clear whether she would be able to convince enough parliamentary groups and, within them, enough MEPs to re-elect her. The actual number of votes in favor and against cannot be predicted exactly in advance. Now, of course, this is also possible in Germany. We certainly remember Heide Simonis, who was not re-elected as Minister-President of Schleswig-Holstein in 2005 because there was a dissenter in her own ranks. But that is the expectation rather than the rule in Germany. There is much more dynamism in the EU. Press spokesman Thilo Kunzemann describes it like this.
It is always the case with us that every law that we discuss here must then also be negotiated with the council. And experience shows that if you have a position in parliament with a two-vote majority, then it will be very difficult for the parliamentary negotiators to incorporate their position into the final law in the disputes with the council representatives. Because the council representatives will then, of course, say, "We don't need to make so many concessions. Your majority is totally weak and will fall over anyway. We don't have to go that far to accommodate you." And as soon as Parliament has a really large majority behind its positions, it also has a better chance of pushing through this position in the trialogue negotiations. And that motivates many, many people across party lines. And regardless of where people place themselves politically, there are still people in all parties here who really want to do factual work, who have issues that are important to them and that they want to push forward. And they still create that special atmosphere that has actually existed here for decades.
Eigentlich seit Jahrzehnten hier auch besteht.
This was another episode of my series Bending Bananas & Co., in which I explored the structures and processes of the EU. This time I focused on the European Parliament. More institutions will follow. Here is the transparency notice for this episode. This episode includes statements and information from the EU Parliament. Statements from the EU Parliament were recorded by me during a trip to Strasbourg. To this end, I received travel expenses support from the EU Parliament and used the services provided by the EU Parliament for journalists, for example the recording studios in Strasbourg. Of course, the various institutions have had no influence on the content and direction of this podcast. This podcast is available in English and German and is currently published once a month. Do you like it? Do you have suggestions or feedback? Feel free to contact me on Instagram or LinkedIn. I'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll hear from you. Yours, Jörg.